From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A new study by two academics at the University of Wisconsin surveyed registered non-voters in last year's general election and found that thousands of people were denied their basic right to vote. One of the study's authors, Kenneth Mayer, told the New York Times, quote, "It's certainly possible that there were enough voters deterred that it flipped the election." Last November's Wisconsin victory for Donald Trump was the first time since 1984 that a Republican won a majority in that state. Wisconsin was one of several battleground states that helped Trump scrape through to an Electoral College victory despite losing the popular vote. My guest is Annalise Eicher. She is the program director of One Wisconsin Now. Welcome to the show, Annalise.
Hi, Sonali. Thanks for having me.
First, let's talk about the actual study before we get into the implications and what your organization is recommending. I understand that this was basically a survey sent to voters in specific counties in Wisconsin who were registered to vote and for a variety of reasons ended up not voting, right?
Yes, that's correct. The Dane County Clerk's Office and the County Clerk, Scott McDonald, worked with professors at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and they mailed out a survey to folks who were registered to vote for the 2016 election, but who ended up not casting a ballot in the election. And so based on that mailer and the folks that responded to the survey, they were able to put together these results that, you know, have been talked about now all over the country.
The turnout in Wisconsin last year was the lowest in a presidential election year since 2000. So this survey was not a comprehensive survey, right? It was a survey. So you had to make extrapolations based on your survey sample size, what the total number of lost votes or non-voters might have been.
That's correct. And I think, you know, the professor, Kenneth Mayer, is a highly respected scientist within the, you know, Department of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. You know, they've based the study off of a similar study done in Texas. And, you know, I don't think that there's any reason that, you know, we should question these numbers, particularly given the you know, the history and the trajectory of voter laws that have been suppressing votes, you know, in Wisconsin, I think, you know, leading up to the 2016 elections.
So basically, they found that this is what I understand, that if you just look at these two counties, Dane and Milwaukee counties, more than 16,000 people were deterred from voting. Is that accurate?
Yes. And, you know, that is exactly what the voter ID law that was passed in Wisconsin in 2011 and actually in place for the first time during the 2016 election, you know, that was their intent all along. And the, you know, we heard it play out anecdotally, you know, from folks who, you know, contacted us during the election about, you know, not having the correct ID or not thinking they had the correct ID. And to have this scientific study you know, solidify that information and to give us actual science behind, you know, what voter ID laws, you know, do when it comes to voting. You know, that is exactly what happened. Didn't have the ID, or they were deterred from voting because someone told them that they didn't have their correct ID, even though they might have.
Let's just step back. I want to clarify those numbers. I said more than 16,000 people. 16,801 people in the two counties were deterred from voting. 6% of non-voters were prevented from voting because they lacked ID or cited ID as the main reason they didn't vote. And that corresponds to 9,000 people, or at the lowest end of the estimate, as high as possibly 14,101 people who were prevented from voting, meaning these are people who wanted to vote, but were told that they didn't have the right ID, even if they either did or if they really didn't have the right ID. Let's talk about the Wisconsin voter ID law, because if you look at the things that Republicans have said to one another in different states about these voter ID laws, it's pretty clear that what they're trying to do is to actually deter voters from getting to vote. And it looks like from the study in Wisconsin, their goal was met.
Absolutely, their goal was met, and my organization, One Wisconsin Now, our sister organization, One Wisconsin Institute, was the lead plaintiff in a lawsuit that challenged a number of voter suppression laws, including the voter ID law. And in testimony under oath in our lawsuit, a former Republican staffer actually said, that during the passage of this law, that Republican legislators were giddy about the prospect of suppressing votes of young people, of people of color, of voters who tended to vote for Democrats. So their intent with this was very clear. And our in the decision in our lawsuit, which unfortunately did not overturn the voter ID law, but we won a few things that actually was able to help voters. The judge actually said that it appeared that these laws were passed in order to suppress the votes of people of color and of young
Wow.
people. And so,
And still preserve the
there's
law, or most of
yes,
it.
and yes, unfortunately. And that is an ongoing legal battle, as we're determined to not give up on, the unconstitutionality of the voter ID law. But, this they set out with a goal of suppressing votes back when they introduced this law in 2011. And, it took them a couple years to finally have an election where it was enacted, but they succeeded in suppressing the votes and of thousands in Wisconsin. And you'll note the study is just Dane and Milwaukee County. Those are
Right.
our two largest counties. What is that? What did this mean for the rest of the state? How many other votes and how many other people were not able to cast their ballot or deterred from casting their ballot and having their voice heard on election day because of the laws that were passed by Governor Walker and the Republican legislature here in Wisconsin.
Let's take a closer look at the demographics of those people who were disenfranchised. As per the study that just came out, the burdens of voter ID fell disproportionately on low-income and minority populations, write the authors. Among low-income registrants, that's household income under only $25,000 a year, 21.1% of voters were deterred, compared to 7.2% for those who earn over $25,000. Among high-income registrants, that's those who make over $100,000 per year in their households, only 2.7% were deterred. 8.3% of white registrants were deterred, compared to 27.5% of African Americans. So more than a quarter of African American voters in these two counties, as per the study, were prevented from voting precisely because of these voter ID laws. That's stunning.
It is stunning, particularly when you look at, the history of voter turnout in Wisconsin. You mentioned earlier it was one of the lowest turnout states in the 2016 election, and Wisconsin has historically had some of the, I think in the past we've been only second to Minnesota. We were on track to, continue to have high turnout elections. But I think this really speaks to just how many people were deterred from voting because of the voter ID law and, who was deterred. You mentioned the statistics about, minorities, and that's appalling. The voter ID law, it really picks and chooses. They designed it in a way to pick and choose voters, and they picked the, you get to vote essentially if you're, white and wealthy and have access to resources that help you meet every hurdle that's put in front of you as a voter with these laws.
Now, to explain the low turnout overall, the study did, if you dig into the study, there's a table of main reasons for not voting, in terms of looking at the answers for why people might not have showed up. And actually, the issue of voter IDs low on the list. What's really up there, the top reason, 33% of people who didn't show up to vote. 33% of people who did the survey explaining their reasons for not voting was that they were unhappy with the choice of candidates or issues. That's one third of everybody who was surveyed. That's a broader issue and maybe a different conversation topic, but we should certainly, you know, frame that as well, that our politics has gotten to this point where we're choosing between, at least for the major parties, between, you know, bad and worse.
Yes, that certainly was something that, you know, came up in the survey. And, you know, I think has been part of the conversation, you know, in post-election analysis on a number of fronts. But I do think that, you know, the real story here is the effect of the voter ID law and just what that did to voting in Wisconsin.
Let's talk about the impact that it had on the outcome. So nearly 17,000 registrants who registered Wisconsin voters kept from the polls. And the question, of course, is, had they been allowed to vote, would it have changed the results of the election, right? Because that's one big question. There's the basic question of the fact, you know, why were nearly 17,000 people disenfranchised? I mean, even one person not having the right to vote is a problem. But in the case of Wisconsin, did the voter ID law actually lead to the election results changing? What do you make of this question?
I think that's a really interesting question. You know, Wisconsin, as you mentioned earlier, you know, one of the first times voting for a Republican for president in decades, and so it's hard to say. You know, particularly with this, you know, data set. You know, with one of the things that was not asked was, you know, if you had voted, who would you have voted for, and what, you know, would that have been a fair question to ask? You know, post-election while they were doing this survey. So I think, you know, the answer is, you know, we don't know. We don't, you know, we can't say with any certainty, you know, that if we didn't have voter ID, that the election results in Wisconsin would have looked different. But, you know, it remains concerning that the sheer number of people who were deterred from voting because of the voter ID law, you know, that is the big concern, you know, and.
Yeah. Kenneth Mayer, who was the lead author of the study, told the New York Times, and I mentioned this earlier, that he doesn't rule out the possibility that the voter ID laws might have flipped the election results. He said the survey did not ask questions about how people would have voted or about their party identification, but he said it is certainly possible that there were enough voters deterred that it flipped the election. So that is an open question. And of course, Wisconsin is only one of a few battleground states that didn't have enough electoral college votes that everything rested on this one state for the electoral college victory of Donald Trump. But if we ask the question of where voter ID laws might have changed results in all of the battleground states, you know, sort of a comprehensive study, we would be looking at a pattern. And that's really a big issue, right, Annalise, that what is the pattern that we see in state after state around the country where these voter ID laws are being pushed? The clear pattern is that votes are being suppressed.
Yeah, it is absolutely a pattern of voter suppression. And, you know, we've seen it play out in Wisconsin since 2011. You know, the voter ID law, among a number of other voter restrictions, was one of the first bills that was introduced when Governor Walker and the Republicans took over the governorship in the state legislature here in Wisconsin. You know, to have one of their first acts be to suppress votes and to, you know, try to manipulate the election to give themselves a partisan advantage, you know, is troubling. And it's not just in Wisconsin, as you mentioned. You know, I think it's, you know, particularly interesting, you know, given the court case around the, you know, Shelby versus Holder and the Voting Rights Act, and just the sheer number of voter restrictions that we have seen in the last decade, and then particularly after the Shelby versus Holder decision, you know, where there is no longer a check on, you know, whether or not folks are deliberately passing laws to suppress votes. And it's troubling. And, Wisconsin is lucky in that, our organization, One Wisconsin Institute, and others have met most of these with legal challenges, some successful, some not, that we can use our legal system and our court system to chip away and to not chip away, but to, I guess, claw back some of our rights that have been taken from us as voters. So I'm grateful that we were able to do that. But, as the study showed, we still had a significant number of people who weren't unable to cast their ballots. And that's troubling. One vote is enough vote. One vote suppressed is enough votes suppressed, for it to be a problem for us.
And also, the study came out at the same time that there's a controversy about whether Russian hackers had access to voter rolls in Wisconsin and other states. Now, Homeland Security is saying, no, it's not true. Actually, Wisconsin wasn't one of the states hacked. But I mean, there's this hysteria over foreign governments trying to influence and impact our elections. But not enough people are talking about the domestic attempts to interfere in our elections, namely the Republican Party's efforts at voter suppression.
Yes, that's correct. It's kind of like we're fighting the voter rights battle on all fronts. It's
a battle that should have been over because we fought it many years ago.
Absolutely.
Won the Voting Rights Act and other laws and policies in place, and now we're refighting all of these again.
Yes.
Annalise, give out a website for your organization where people can find out more.
Sure, absolutely. So we are at onewisconsinnow.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at One Wisconsin Now. We are pretty active and like to engage with folks. So check us out and feel free to shoot us a message.
We'll post a link to that from our site later today. Thanks so much, Annalise.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sonali.
My guest is Annalise Eicher, Program Director of One Wisconsin Now. We've been discussing a new study of voters who were unable to cast ballots last November in Wisconsin. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.